Tonight we'll do a sharing on the title, The Baals of the World, Spiritual Wickedness in High Places, Concealed in Religion. This is the story that really is from Genesis 3 to Revelations 20. And so we see the same scenario that goes on. So let's begin in Jude, verse 4, page 250 in the New Testament. Got a lot of information, so I might not be able to finish it, but this is what we can get. Jude chapter 4, page 2. The Jude Revelation, one book before Revelation. Esther, do you want to read that? What? Verse 4?
Verse
24? No, 4. 4. Well, we better let Mamma do it, because it's the different words they don't know.
For there have crept in unobserved certain men who from of old have been publicly notified for this sentence. Ungodly men, let the favor of our God turning into wantonness, and our only Master and Lord, Yahushua Christ, denying.
So we're going to be talking about these men who have crept in. And they're always stealth. Go to 2 Peter 2:1. Same subject. That's page 243. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, men who will stealthily bring in destructive parties, even the master that brought them, denying, bringing on themselves speedy destruction. And we go to Ephesians 6, verse 10, that's page 200. Excuse me. For the rest, be empowering yourself in the Lord in the grasp of his might. Put on the complete armor of Yahweh with the view to having power to stand against the strategies of the adversary. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the principalities, against the authorities, against the world holders of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. That is always our struggle, which is obviously revealed in the book of Ephesians. So we're going to do a study on Baal. And it's not Baal, it's Baal, which is Hebrew for really Lord or Master. It could also be a husband. But in this category, it's obviously it's a false god. The purpose of our adversary is to exterminate Yahweh. And he's going to do it by religion. And that's how you're going to have to do that. And a religion can be a worship of government. So I'm going to read a bunch of stuff before we start going to the scriptures. I'm going to give you the prep work. Now, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any living thing. That was in Genesis 3:1. That's who we're dealing with. We know that in Revelation 20, verse 7, it says, the accuser shall be loosened out of his prison and will go forth to deceive the nations to gather them together. Against who? Christ. Cain slew Abel, and one thing we were talking about, you know, many times it's hard for us to realize how much freedom Yahweh has given mankind. Would you ever give a dog, let's say you had a German Shepherd, would you ever give him the right to kill you while you sleep?
Yeah.
Now think about that.
Yeah.
And so that's what he has actually given mankind, and when they choose this right, we used to call them animals, and that's really degrading to animals. It has nothing to do with animals. These people have gone so far, it's an insult to animals to call them animals. So you're slandering animals. So you have to say, I'm going to call them Canaanites. And so you have maybe Abelites who follow Yahweh and Canaanites who was a murderer from the beginning. And that's the Obama administration. And these people are around us all the time, and we're going to see a bunch of them. And Cain was of the wicked one. That's 1 John 3:12. False religion persecutor is what Cain was. We know that wickedness of man with Noah is Genesis 6, 5, chapter 6, verse 5, and the earth was destroyed because there was only 8 righteous people. And that was Noah, his 3 sons and 3 daughter-in-laws. Out of billions. And why there had to be false gods in that time frame that exterminated Yahweh. And so Satan's objective is to exterminate Yahweh. Adam lived 900 some years. He is the teacher of all mankind. And so we know that Adam lived, who Lamech, which was Noah's father, lived for like 40 years overlapped Adam. So Adam could have told Lamech everything. And then Lamech tells Noah everything. And so you have, you know, 1,000 years is like, or almost 2,000 years is like nothing. Excuse me. So we know that that was destroyed by water, which is actually fire, because water is H2O. That's hydrogen and oxygen. Which, if you mix hydrogen with oxygen, you have fire. But it was by water. Did they try to save anybody else? No. Okay, so we're going to look at that with Lot also. With Sodom. So Sodom, all they needed was 10 to save Sodom. 10 righteous men to save Sodom. That's Genesis 18:31. So Sodom obviously is exterminating Yahweh all through religion. False religions. So we saw it with Sodom, brimstone and fire. That was Genesis 19:24. We're going to see fire all the way through the word of Yahweh as judgment. The wives and the son-in-laws would not give up that lifestyle. And so, was killed. There's only 3 that came out of Sodom righteous. And that was fire from heaven also. Now we go to Egypt. Let my people go. So we see this infiltration of turning people from Yahweh away from Yahweh. And then erasing Yahweh completely. We saw the judgment on the gods of Egypt. That's Exodus 12:12. The righteous being rescued from the Canaanites, and which were the Egyptians. The fire from heaven also came down on the land of Egypt. Moses purifying his people, the same kind of internal craftiness to break apart that unity, and that's the sons of Korth. Aaron had a false god, and that's Exodus 32. The Baals, turning the people away from Yahweh to Baal, and then once you turn to Baal, you exterminate Yahweh. And that's what we're going to see what happens with Ahab. We're going to. We know there was 50,000 people killed during this, really, it's like a coup. So think of all the things that happened to Moses. It was a coup against Yahweh. And whether it was the court, you know, the Korites, Korth and his people, but you got one thing after another going on there. And fire from heaven came down. You remember on the 250 people with censers. They were killed by it. So Korth is number 1635, and Aaron's sons were killed by fire. Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. That would have been an overthrow of Yahweh. Solomon going after other gods. That's 1 Kings 11, verse 10. Yahweh saves Israel by splitting the kingdom. And obviously, if Yahweh wouldn't have split the kingdom, it probably would have been the demise of all the tribes. And I think Yahweh knows what he's doing. And that's 1 Kings 11:11. Jeroboam takes the 10 tribes that were given to him, and that's 1 Kings 11:29-39. So we're going to begin our study on the eradication of Baal. And so Elijah's job, which we're going to see, was the beginning of the eradication of Baal, whose purpose there was to eradicate Yahweh. So let's go to 1 Kings 12, page 365, on Jeroboam. 1 Kings 12, verse 25. We see this same scenario with the Obama and Democratic Party, which is attempting to erase Yahweh by allowing sodomy, by encouraging sodomy, by men and girls' bathrooms, by abortion, and it's forcing Christians to do things that they don't want to do to break them down, and bringing Islam in order to eradicate Yahwehism. And
what
so
verse,
nothing new today. Pardon?
What verse? 25-33.
When Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went forth from thence and built Penuel. Now we're going to see, he's got the 10 tribes. Now, the foundation is, the law of Moses said everybody is supposed to come back to Israel, the men, how many times a year?
Three.
Jerusalem. The three feasts. How many, Elijah?
Three.
Good. And Jeroboam said in his heart, they're in north now, they're away from Jerusalem. Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the hearts of this people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah. Yahweh gave him anointed him as king. If he would have just believed Yahweh instead of his senses, this would have never happened. I mean, they would have come down to Judah and Jerusalem and came back to their country. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now the significance here is when they're worshiping these gods, they're still worshiping Yahweh. And so Yahweh actually allows this to happen. The sins of Jeroboam. And 29, and he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in where?
Dan.
And this same became a sin, and the people went before the one as far as Dan, and he made a house of high places and made priests from the whole compass of the people who were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam made a festival in the eighth month. What month is it supposed to be? The seventh month. And so he's trying to duplicate. Communism did the same thing. When communism took over Russia, there was Sunday and there was Saints Day. They redid the calendar. So instead of 7 days, it went 10 days. And France did the same thing in the French Revolution. They changed the calendar from 7 days to 5 days, or vice versa. One went to 5 days and one went to 10 days to try to break the people of thinking about church. And instead of St. Francis Day, it was the poly day. I mean, it was the flowers. They'd give names. They made flowers and ornaments and everything else. They took all the saints' name up to break people. And this is what communism is. And so that's a god. It's there to erase Yahwehism. And this guy did and made the festival on the eighth day on the 15th of the month, like the festival which was held in Judah, and offered up on the altar. Likewise did he in Bethel, sacrifices to the calves which he had made, and he kept in attendance in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. These are the sins of Jeroboam. Yahweh was actually living with this. And so I think of it kind of with our Trinity. You know, Yahweh lives with the Trinity and accepts that that's happening. There's three gods, just like he did this. But we're going to see what thing Yahweh will not live with. And that was with Baal. So these main characters we're going to see all the way through here, who was the testifier for Yahweh, was Moses, as we saw that. And they fight. They're taking the fight to the enemy. Elijah and Elijah. We saw John the Immerser, Yahushua, Peter and Paul, and finally the two witnesses taking the fight to the enemy. So now we're going to go into Baal, and that's Ahab. So we go to 1 Kings 19, 18. So you have the 10 tribes up north, and then you have two tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the south. We know of all the kings, none of them followed Yahweh wholeheartedly, but they were still following Yahweh in one way or another.
Deluded.
Yeah. So in 19 verse 18, we're going to see, why didn't he just wipe out Israel, the 10 tribes, of their sins? Because there are 7,000 there who have not bowed. So 19 verse 18, yet will I leave remain in Israel 7,000 all knees who have not bowed to Baal, and all mouths which have not kissed to him. So the 7,000 people that he, instead of wiping out the land like he did with Noah or with Sodom, there's 7,000 people here. That's why we're going to do all this stuff. Otherwise, we just wipe the whole dish
clean. Because of them.
Yeah, because of them.
7,000 who stood.
There's innocent people. So now we're going to go to the story at chapter 16 about Ahab and the introduction of Baal. Yeah, verse 29. Now Ahab, son of Omri, began to reign over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, son of Omri, did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and did more wickedly than all that were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been too light a thing, that he should walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Remember that? What's the sins of Jeroboam?
Baal.
No.
The two calves,
but they're still worshiping Yahweh. When they're kneeling down to the calves, they're actually Yahweh's part of it. That he took to wife Jezebel. Here's what it comes down to. Jezebel, the name means, let's see here, I got here, Baal exalted. And her father is Ethbaal, which means with Baal. So here's Baal coming in to Israel. And he took to wife Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and bowed down to him. And he reared an altar unto Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made the sacred stem, and Ahab did yet more to provoke to anger Yahweh Elohim of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So, here's the story begins. But Yahweh is not going to allow Baal to exist in Israel. This is one of the functions of Elijah. So we're going to see Yahweh declares war on Baal worshipers. That's Ahab, Jezebel, Athaliah, all their prophets. So what we have, the people who are going to bring the fight are Elijah, Elisha, Hazael, which was the king of Syria, which is a wicked guy, but he's used in the fight. Jehu, his name is really Jehu, and Jehoiada. And he's in Judah. And his name means Yah knows. So we begin with Elijah, chapter 17, verse 1. And then Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead unto Ahab, by the life of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, before whom I stand, there shall not these 2 days be either dew or rain. What? Or 2 years be either dew or rain, save at the mouth of my word. And every time you see the word bidding, it's the word mouth. It's the Hebrew word pay, P-E-D, or P-E-H. So this begins at 2 years. The fight's all of Baal. So let's see what Elijah does in chapter 18, verse 38. And Elijah, I want to read 38 to 40.
Then fell fire from Yahweh and consumed the ascending sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, even the water that was in the trench he licked up. And when all the people saw it, they fell upon their faces and said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And Elijah said unto them, Seize ye the prophets of Baal, let not a man of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah took them down into the ravine of Kishon, and slaughter them there.
Okay. So Elijah has just killed the prophets of Baal. These people also turn to Yahweh, right? So you're going to see, okay, the whole purpose of this, these scenarios. Jezebel had no part of this, even though, as you can see, Ahab didn't kill Elijah. And so he's kind of impressed. And even allowed Elijah and these people to kill the 250 prophets of Baal. So you can see where his heart was. Jezebel had nothing to do with it. Because her job was to bring in Baal and wipe out Yahweh. So you look at 19, verse 1 and 3. And Esther, you want to read that?
Chapter 19,
verses 1 through 3.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then sent Jezebel a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do, and so let them add if by this time tomorrow I make not thy life as the life of one of them. And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his children there.
And what a shock. Yahweh tells you to do something, the people turn, rain comes. And it's like, my job's done, right? And what a shock to Elijah to find out he's hunted now.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought I just turned. It would have been 3.5 years. I thought everything just turned. Everybody except for this one lady. You know, the hunted man. So I'm talking about it many times in our walk where we think we've missed it. Yeah. And that could be part of it. And so he has to flee for his life.
That's endurance.
Yeah, the endurance that comes along. Now we go to 19, verse 14. And Yahweh says, okay, here's the rest of the gang who are going to exterminate Baal from Israel. Chapter 19, verse 14 through 18. And he said, this is Elijah, very jealous have I been for Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, because the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thy altars have they thrown down, thy prophets also have they slain with the sword, and I alone am left, and they have sought my life to take it. And odds look pretty bad. But remember, our odds many times with Obama, the Democratic Party also looks bad, but this thing really turns around. So all remember, it's not by numbers, it's by might and Yahweh's. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh said unto him, go return to thy way toward the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou enterest, then shalt thou anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He was a wicked instrument. He's going to come against Ahab and Israel. This is judgment from coming from the unbeliever. And Yehu, so that's really Y-A-H-U, Yehu, son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, son of Zarephath of Abel-Mehorlah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. Then shall it come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Yehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Yehu shall Elijah slay. So here's coming out to the continuation of the killing of Baal out of Israel. So we go, and we don't have to go here, but we see that in 2 Kings 1:10, fire came down from heaven when the soldiers were trying to get Elijah. So there's another judgment being brought down out of heaven. But now let's go to Elijah, and that's 2 Kings 9, verse 6. He's taken over. So we know, for everybody else too, we know what happened to Elijah. Elijah is taken up into a chariot and he went to heaven, right?
Nope.
No, where did he go?
Retired.
No.
On vacation.
Yeah, he was on planet Earth. So he was not, he retired. Because 13 years later, we hear from him, writing to the son of Jehoshaphat. And these were, Elijah and Elisha were prophets of Israel, not of Judah. Elijah writes Jehoram, who was a king of Judah. And that's only in Chronicles. And so he was in a retirement. A lot of people don't know that the subject's not about that. They would go to 9, 6 through 10. This is a great chapter on anointing Yehu. And this could be Donald Trump today. A prophet goes in, not Elijah, but a prophet goes in, and it looks like the camera's a little slanted. You want to pull legs up?
It's not slanted.
It is.
I'm looking at the film.
I know, but just get one of these legs. I can see horizontally. It's not horizontal.
Okay, I don't know what you want me to do.
No, the outside leg. Increase it. Make it longer. You gotta twist it. And then it starts pulling it this way. There you go. I just noticed that. It's just. And that tripod's not real good like that.
Now
it's horizontal.
No, it's not, but it's okay.
There we go.
9:06.
Then arose he up, and this is the assistant to Elijah. And poured out the oil upon his head and said unto Yehu, thus say Yahweh, here's your assignment, Yehu, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee to be king unto the people of Yahweh. And that's the people of who? Yahweh, not the people of Baal. Unto Israel, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy lord, so I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. So shall perish all the house of Ahab, and I will cut off to Ahab the meanest, both him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. Yea, I will deliver up the house of Ahab, like the house of Jeroboam son of Nebat, like the house of Baasham son of Ahijah. And as for Jezebel, the dog shall eat her in the townland of Jezreel, there being none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great situation. So Yehu is going to continue on. Elijah killed the 250 prophets. Now Jehu is coming in through Elijah. And that is 2 Kings 10, verse 1. Okay, Melania, verse 1.
2 Kings
10, verse 1.
10. All right. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. So Jehu wrote letters.
No. And now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, so Jehu wrote, sent them to Samaria. I'm sorry. Unto the rulers of Jezreel. Samaria's in there twice. I thought you were on the second Samaria. The elders and unto them who had foster parents for Ahab, same. All right, so we're going to kill the sons of Ahab. So Ahab's already dead because he was killed in a battle through Ahaz or Hazael fighting Syria. And he went in with, if anyone remember how that happened? He went in cognito and he said, Jehoshaphat, you keep on your kingly garment. I'm going to go in like a private. And got killed. Just like Yahweh said.
And Yahweh figured it out.
Yeah, figured it out, knew where he was. And so in 8, what happens? And there came in a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought in the heads of the sons of the king. And he said, lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until the morning. So there is the 70 heads of the sons of Ahab. That's done. Okay, next job is the worshippers of Baal. And now in 18, in the same chapter. Okay, Isaiah 18 and 19.
Yeah. Then Jehu gathered together all the people and tended them. Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much. Now therefore, all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all his priests, call thee unto me, and not let a man be missing. For a great sacrifice have I unto Baal.
So think of two syllables, Baal.
No one is that is missing shall live, but Jehu acted crafty to the end he might destroy the servants of Baal.
Okay, so who are we after? Servants of Baal. And we know that that was done in chapter 10, verse 28. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of what? Israel. Elijah started it. I don't know how many years this is over. And now it's officially cleansed. The 10 tribes from Baal. One thing we're still going to live with is what? Verse 29. Nevertheless, as for the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, Jehu turned not away from following them, the calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. So Yahweh is allowing this. It's a lesser of evil, but Baal's gone out of Israel, but he's not gone out of Judah. Because how did he get into Judah?
Athaliah.
Yeah, Athaliah. Who's Athaliah?
The daughter of Jezebel.
Yeah, the daughter of Jezebel. And that was through the good intentions of what king?
Jehoshaphat,
who was a good guy. Don't ever think with your children that you can disobey the word of Yahweh and think, well, it doesn't really apply in this situation. You know, this person's an unbeliever, this person's a Democrat, but, you know, we can get along with them. And that's how he brought in, you know, a destructing influence into the tribe of Judah. It was already in Israel. And now you brought into the tribe of Judah, and he was somebody who was actually pleasing Yahweh. So his good intentions end up destroying all of his sons and all of his grandsons.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, brought that wickedness in. So it's a tremendous lesson. Good intentions killed everybody.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you just did? And that was with Athaliah. So let's see here. Lift on. Next page. Chapter 11. Verse 13 to 18. And so, let me see his name. I guess I didn't write that down. I got his name. Let's see right here how to pronounce that. Jehoiada. Jehoiada. That's who is the person who protected the seed of the last seed of David, the only seed of David. So you can see how wicked it is. So they bring in Athaliah with her son, and the Christ line comes from who?
Judah.
The seed of David. And she kills all the seed of David, except one was hidden. That would have done away with the Christ line.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Baal, that's her adversary, the serpent in the garden, the great deceiver. Mm-hmm. So we go to verse 13 and 18. Now when Athaliah heard the noise, so they have a boy, they wait 6 years, and now they're going to make him king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the runners, the people, then came she in unto the people in the house of Yahweh, and looked, and lo, the king standing by the pillar, as the custom was, and the captains and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land, rejoicing and blowing with trumpets. So Athaliah rent her garments and cried out, conspiracy, conspiracy. So she had converted Judah into the worshippers of Baal. And Jehoiada, the priest, commanded the captain of hundreds, officers of the force, and said unto them, take her forth unto the inside of the ranks, and he that cometh in after her to slay with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be slain in the house of Yahweh. So they made way for her, and she entered the road by which the horses approached the house of the king, and was slain there. And Jehoiada solemnized a covenant between Yahweh and the king and the people that they should become a people unto Yahweh, also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land entered the house of Baal. Here we go back to Baal again. And break it down, his altars and his images, break them in pieces utterly. And Mattah, the priests of Baal, they slew before the altars. And the priests appointed officers over the house of Yahweh. So Baal now is eradicated. And that all started with Elijah, which took quite a while now. Now we get into John the Immerser. He is actually the representation of Elijah. So we have to think of how evil Jerusalem was when Christ was born. To bring in Elijah like he did in Israel. And so, let's see, he... which most of us don't quite realize that. It looked like a holy place, but actually it's false religion. In Luke 13:34, it says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that slay the prophets." This is the holy place. And what do? You know, first slaying the prophets. And so we go to Luke chapter 3. That's page 59 in the New Testament. So we carry this theme, the point we're going through this, we're carrying this theme all the way from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 20. Of the same beast that raises head under a different title each time, but it's always going to be religion.
What verse? I'm sorry.
Chapter 3, verse 3 through 9.
3 through 9?
Yes. And you want to read that, Wendy?
Oh, and he came into all the country about the Jordan, proclaiming an immersion of repentance unto remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the discourses of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying aloud in the desert, prepare ye the way of the Lord, straight be making his paths, every chasm shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked places shall become straight, and the rugged places, smooth ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of Yahweh. He was saying, therefore, unto the multitudes who were going forth to be immersed by him, broods of vipers, who suggested to you to flee from the coming wrath? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to be saying within yourselves, as our father we have Abraham. For I say unto you, Yahweh is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And already, even the axe unto the root of the trees is being laid. Every tree, therefore, not bringing forth good fruit, is to be hewn down and into fire be cast.
And there we have the fire again. Let's go to 16 and 17.
What chapter did I answer?
Same chapter 3. John answers, saying unto all, I indeed in water am immersing you, but he that is mightier than I cometh, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to unloosen, he will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and what?
Fire.
Fire. Now let's watch about this fire. Whose fan is in his hand to clear out his threshing floor. That's what Yahweh did with Israel, with the people of Baal. And to gather the wheat into his granary, that's what he did to the followers of Yahweh. And the followers of Baal, but the chaff will he burn up with fire unquenchable. That's what Yahushua's ministry is to do. We see also in this book when Moses, who was a type of bringing miracles and mighty powers, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, the vision of them with Yahushua. So we see all three people who are there, who are, you know, pulling out the good people and destroying the wicked. Now we go to the two witnesses, and that's in Revelation 11, page 258. And so the same thing is happening. The book of Revelation has a false god. And what's his name? What's his title?
The Beast.
The Beast. You're right, the Beast. And he has a prophet too, doesn't he? And we're going to find out that he says, I am God. And so this is the same scenario always, to eradicate Yahwehism and to bring in the new god. And that's obviously Satan, our adversary, is always involved in that. 11 through 6. And I will give unto my two witnesses that they shall prophesy 1,260 days arrayed in sackcloth. You know, this is no different than Elijah. He did 3.5 years. This is 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two lamps which before Yahweh of the, or the Lord of the earth do stand. And if anyone upon them chooses to inflict injury, fire cometh forth out of their mouth. Is that Elijah type?
Yeah.
Did Elijah bring fire down from heaven?
Mm-hmm. I'm a man.
And consume 50 at a time and 50 at a time. and devoured their enemies. If anyone shall choose upon them to inflict injury, there must he be slain. So they're going to kill him. They're going to die if you try to hurt these guys. And same with Elijah. They try to kill Elijah. Did they try to kill Elijah?
Yeah.
Yeah. The king was hunting them all the time. Elijah, the Assyrians were trying to hunt him. These have authority to shut heaven in order that no rain be moistened. Is that Elijah?
Yeah.
There we go again. In the days of the prophesying, an authority have they over the waters to be turning them into blood. Is that Moses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. To smite the land with any manner of plague. Is that Moses?
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. So here we go. As often as they will. So those are the two witnesses. Christ is part of this plan. So we see in chapter 5, verse 5.
Chapter of Revelation.
Revelation 5, verse 5. The scroll comes out with the seven seals, and it says who is worthy to open this thing up. And what's in these scroll is all the judgment that's coming out upon the earth. And there's only one person who is, and it's not Yahweh, you know, who is worthy. I mean,
is Yahweh worthy?
Yeah, is Yahweh worthy to open
the
scroll?
I made them, and I guess I'll be okay to open
And verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Lo, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. So let's see what happens to the planet Earth when these seven seals are opened up. So we go 8:7. And this is still the overthrow. So there's righteous people in here. Otherwise, the whole thing would have been smoked. Just like with Noah. Everything would have been flooded. Everything would have been fired like Sodom. And so there's righteous people here, but we're going to smoke the ungodly. And a lot of righteous are probably going to die in the incident, but they'll get life, age abiding. And so 8 verse 7. Isaiah, you want to do 7?
Yep. And the first sound, and there came to hail and fire mingled with blood, and they cast into the earth, and the third of the earth was burned up, the third of the cheese was burned up, and all the green...
That's it. And the third of all green herbage was burned up. There we go. That is a lot of acres, what are you going to think about it? But here comes fire as judgment again.
That's what you call warming of the planet.
Is that going to be a global warming thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
9:18. And do 9:18 in Elijah, or in Isaiah.
I think it's called climate change.
That's going to be climate change.
By these three plagues you were slain, the third part of mankind by reason of the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that proceedeth out of the mouths.
Okay, so there we go. Okay, so we know these are the Baals, the same situation, who have taken over the earth. We know that we're gone. And let's look at the false god. And that's Revelation 13, 5 and 6. So instead of Baal, he'll be called the Beast, which I'm great because he doesn't get a name. Just like our adversary doesn't have a proper name. And one other note for people, too, Antichrist, he's never called Antichrist in the book of Revelation. He's called the Beast. And so when you look at people always talk about Antichrist, 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 you know, and they're referring to the Beast... they need to be re-instructed. So we go to verse 5, 13 verse 5 and 6. You want to read that, Esther?
Yeah, just a second. We have to.
Yeah, and actually they've got 6. It's really 5.
5.
Yeah, I had to rewrite that.
So there's two 6s here. Mm-hmm. So the one on the margin is really a 5.
Start with and there was given?
Yeah, that was 5.
He has given to them a mouth speaking great things and blast enemies. It was given unto him to act 42 months, and he opened his mouth for blasphemy against Yahweh, his blaspheme, his name and his tent, them who in heaven are
tabernacling. That just tells you all about it. Do you think the Democratic Party is no different? They blaspheme Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they didn't. Yeah, so no different. This has gone from Cain, and it will continue after we're gone. Let's go to verse 11 and 12. Melania, read 11 and 12.
And I saw another wild beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, began speaking as a dragon. And all the authority of the first wild beast be used, but before him, and causeth the earth and them who therein are dwelling, that they shall do homage unto the first wild beast, whose stroke of death was healed.
That's it. You got to do homage. And do right now, do the Democratic Party do homage to abortion?
Yeah, really, it's a god.
And if you go against abortion, you're not part of them. So it, you know, it's part of the bowing down.
Killing babies.
The homosexuality. You have to bow down to homosexuality. You have to bow down to murder. So these are the same things. It's no different than getting the, in essence, the mark of the beast put on you. You're making a stand. Now we go to Second Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, page 212. So we prepare our kids. This is nothing new. This is part of it. We will overcome. And obviously we know we win.
We know the end, yeah.
And we know we win. And three, Elijah, 3 and 4.
Wait.
Oh, sorry, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, page 212.
That no one may cheat you in any one respect, because that day will not set in, except the revolt come first, and there be revealed the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, the one who opposeth the exalteth himself on high against everyone called Yahweh, or an object, or worship, so that he within the sanctuary of Yahweh shall take his seat, showeth himself forth that he is Yahweh.
Yeah, pretty brass, huh? That is, and so we know that happens. Christ comes, kicks butt in chapter 19 of Revelation, but then we look at chapter 20, and here we go again.
In what? I'm sorry, chapter 20.
Revelation 20. I'm sorry. Yeah, Revelation 20. So the beast, this wickedness that Yahweh has given so much freedom to mankind that they can actually do that. You know, I mean, that's how much he honors and giving us a choice that you're like, wow, would I give a German shepherd who had opposable thumbs, who could use a gun, all right, and who could stay up past Aya, you know, and whether he's going to be a good German shepherd or a bad German shepherd? Now think of that. Now, we've never given that kind of authority, but Yahweh's given us that kind of authority.
Stand with God.
Amazing. We know, I guess we got a little time. Let's just look at 19, the kick in the butt, 19:19. This is Christ coming down. I saw the wild beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him who was sitting upon the horse. If they're making war with Yahushua, who are they making war with?
Yahweh. Same with Moses.
Your own father, your own creator, you're trying to destroy. Mm-hmm. And like, this is really going to work. It's like the ant to Elijah saying, I'm going to take you over. I'm going to bite you and you're going to die. And you're going to say, is that right? Is that right? He's going to go, next. And the wild beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who wrought the signs before him. Here's the God who says, I am Yahweh. And guess what? He's picked up like an ant.
Yeah.
So is the false prophet. And guess where you guys are going? We got a home for you.
Right in the fire.
And whereby he deceived them who received the mark of the wild beast and them who were doing homage unto his image, alive were they to cast into the lake of what?
Fire.
That burns with brimstone. Great ending for those guys. Happily ever after, Christ comes, 1,000-year reign, the adversary is locked up, pretty much peace. Here's the test again. Until you've been tested, your fidelity, are you for Yahweh or are you against Him? You know, it's always come down to, if I'm never tested, then I've never committed myself. You know, if it chose Donna between your mother and Yahweh, who are you going to choose?
Yahweh.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. Between, you know, Holly and Yahweh, who are you going to choose? Yeah. Between Tim and Yahweh, who are you going to choose? It has to be nobody. It's 100% fidelity to our Creator. And most people, a lot of people just won't do that. They compromise. And so they have what they call a divided heart. And so I want to help. I want to do this, and I want to do this. So I'm going to incorporate both you into my circle, and that'd be like a husband having two wives. It doesn't work for the wives because he doesn't have 100% fidelity to either one, and it never does work that way. We know that. Okay, now 1,000-year reign. Now we go into verse 7. Everything is hunky-dory, and then the adversary is let out of his prison for 1,000 years. He's got to be stretching his bones. Oh, man, I've been in a prison for 1,000 years.
I'm going really on straight and narrow. I'm all cleaned up.
Yeah, so he's really reformed, didn't he? He's going to worship Yahweh. And as soon as 1,000 years shall be ended, the accuser shall be loosed out of his prison and will go forth to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, the Gog and Magog, to gather them together unto the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
Wow.
And they came up over the breadth of the land and surrounded the camp of the saints and of the beloved city. Would they never learn? You know, I mean, this is your king is Christ, Yahushua. And you're going to take over the kingdom. And there came down what?
Fire
down out of heaven and devoured them. Thank goodness we got that. So we have false religion is all the way through from Adam and Eve when it says, you shall be as gods, to the beast who says, I am God.
Yeah.
Same scenario. That's Islam is the enemy of Christ. And that's no different than Baal. They can't coexist. Islam cannot coexist with anybody.
Because if you're not Islamic, you die.
You're the enemy.
And you have to be killed.
Corrupted Christianity and obviously government. Deceivers alive and working in lawlessness and religion. Homosexualities as priests. Homosexuals as priests right now in Christian, quote-unquote Christian churches. Abortionists as church members of the Democratic Party. But we have a happy ending. And we have a happy ending, and that's Revelations 21, 5 and 8. We win, and at one time the earth will be done. And no more death, no more crime.
No more.
Okay, we'll stop there. All